This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
The murder of Maddie Soto, 13-year-old little girl whose life ended tragically right after her birthday party. At this point in our recording in the day, 3:15, no charges have been brought against anyone for the murder of Maddie Soto, but there have been 60 criminal abuse charges against Stefan Stearns, the mom of Maddie's boyfriend, who allegedly lived with them for many, many years in that very small apartment where they all shared the same bedroom. 8 counts of sexual battery on a child under the age of 12, 5 counts of sexual battery with a child 12 to 18, 7 counts of lewd and lascivious molestation, and 40 counts of unlawful possession of materials depicting sexual performance by a child, 10 or more images. It's just gross and disturbing all around. Another aspect of this case that's been gross and disturbing all around has been mom and her interviews. Is there something really off with her? Is she just someone who doesn't show a lot of emotions? Or is she complicit? Is she aware of what may have been going on? Joining us to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Siobhan, we've had another week to kind of absorb these pieces of material, and we're going to play some of them back here in just a little bit. From what we talked about last week, what has anything changed in your mind, or what are you feeling on this right now?
Yeah, pretty much the same since I first saw these interviews. I'm not seeing grief. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing lots of anxiety from mom.
Yeah.
She looks like she's trembling in the interviews, but what's going on with that when you see some of the footage is her leg is jittery.
Yeah.
She's shaking her leg, mm-hmm. which is one of the things that I've often seen people do when they're not being truthful. And you know, of course, we don't know because in every case, people are different.
Sure.
But I've seen a lot of people do the jittery leg thing when they're not being honest. And so, you know, that struck me as odd. And then also the fact that, you know, we don't really see anything that looks like, you know, she's terribly grieving, mm-hmm. what could be happening to my daughter here. It's feels off.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem quite right.
It is very bizarre. Let's take a look at the interview that was conducted by Channel 9. This is the one where she does have the leg shaking. The other interview that's conducted with Fox 35, she's not so jittery in it, but we'll start with this one. This is her talking about the camera, which I still have a lot of questions about, considering no footage existed that she talks about here, but she sure seems to believe it does. Let's take a listen and a watch.
She was spotted walking by the church, by the middle school, on the cameras. They saw her hang out in the parking lot for a little bit and then get up and leave. They didn't see a vehicle or anything else. They just saw her walk away around 9 a.m. heading towards the school, but she never made it.
What has the school said? Have you given any contact with the school?
Yes, that they're doing everything they can. They've given me all their resources. The principal's called me. They've looked at their cameras. I don't think they've caught anything. The cameras is too far away from the sidewalk. Everything is too grainy, so they can't see specific faces. But they've looked. I'm just waiting to hear anything else from them.
One of the things I've picked up on this has been the way she caps most of her statements. It's with I'm really intensely going to tell you this, look down, and then, yeah. It's almost mm-hmm. Do you believe me? Or do I mm-hmm. need to say more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does have the sense of, what is the story here that I'm supposed to stick to?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Let's continue on here. With more of that conversation. This is where she's talking about, in my heart, I feel like somebody took her, which is, again, it's interesting. Nobody knew at this moment in time where she was. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody did. But allegedly not her. Let's watch this.
We spoke about her birthday party. She had a birthday party on Sunday. She had a great time. I couldn't make it because I was working, but she had an amazing time. She was so happy with all her gifts. I told her good night, and yeah, that was it. I wasn't the one who took her to school in the morning. That was my partner. But yeah.
13?
She's 13 years old, yes.
13, Madeline?
Madeline.
What are you thinking right now?
In my heart, I feel like somebody took her. This isn't like her to just pick up and run away, or just not go to school. I don't know what to think.
Friends, the friends' parents, you've contacted and everyone. Went through every single person?
Everyone that we know that she knows. We've contacted them all, reached out to them. The parents have gone out to search and look for her as well. And we haven't come up with anything yet.
I'd be curious if that actually happened, considering mom and dad, or whoever he is, Stefan, never got boots on the ground themselves. They never went out and started looking. They were sitting by the phone because it's 1998 and they only have a landline. It reeks of something is up here. Is this someone who, you know, it could be a victim of abuse as well, and really is so ingrained in that relationship with Stefan that she's willing to do or say anything because that trumps the relationship that she has with her daughter or the value of her daughter?
Yeah, it could be that she's a victim of abuse. Where I would look, often women who will sacrifice their daughters, in essence, to keep a man, they have an incredibly odd, dependent personality. And they've become so enmeshed with this man, and they're so invested in taking care of his needs that they will do or allow these horrendous things to happen with their kids. And that happens more than we realize. And a lot of times, women like that can seem superficially pretty normal. You know, they have jobs, they're out working in the community, but they'll do anything to make this man happy or to keep this man with them. And that's, you know, if I were interviewing her, I would be looking for those kinds of traits, those kind of personality factors. One of the things that was interesting in one of the videos when both of them were in the interview was how she was standing above him and rubbing his back.
Yeah.
And it looked like, you know, we would expect him to be the one soothing her. You know, mom is going to be terribly distraught, not for mom to be the one doing the comforting and the soothing. And so that was another odd thing that stood out to me.
It does. I mean, it's very odd as to why that dynamic would be like that. I mean, even if let's play the game that she knows that this happened, that she's dead at that moment in time. Why would you be over there comforting him? I mean, I know you don't want to like get caught and like spill your cards, but at the same point, I don't know. I mean, these two are just kind of a weird enigma of I don't know what the hell is going on in that relationship. I mean, if you
sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now